was a 10-week summer experience for college students to learn how to share the gospel with their friends. Every morning, the participants would gather together to learn how to share the good news. And then in the afternoon, they would carpool to work at Six Flags Great Adventure Amusement and Safari Park. The hope was to build relationships with co-workers, to pray for them, and if the opportunity presented itself, to share the gospel with them. One of the biggest challenges that summer was not in sharing the gospel, but rather the housing situation. The housing for the project was known as the Hotel Motel. It was in Lakewood, New Jersey, not far from the Six Flags Park. But the Hotel Motel was neither a hotel nor a motel. It was rather a large single-family home that had been used as a rooming house over the years. There were two bathrooms, a lavatory on the first floor, and a bathroom on the second floor with a stall shower. There was one telephone in the days before cell phones, and there was limited common area space. I know the details because I was there that summer. I was one of those 21 college students in that house. And we lived there with the owners who spoke barely any English. Now, what I learned that summer was a great deal about evangelism. But I learned even more about how to live life in a community with other followers of Jesus Christ. Living in close relationship with one another is not easy. There were some blessings, there were some frustrations, and the challenge was to be in relationship with one another and be committed to working through reconciliation throughout that summer. Now, our call as followers of Jesus Christ is to live in relationship with others. You know the saying that we can choose our friends, but family is family, right? And then we live in relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And sometimes there's joy, sometimes there are frustrations. Over the last several weeks, we have been taking a look at a series entitled God's WPC. And in it, we've looked at the values that have been held near and dear to members of this congregation over the years of its existence. We said that those values include worship, spiritual formation, missions and evangelism, and fellowship. Today, I'd like to take a look at that last value, fellowship. And so I invite you to follow along as I read from Psalm 133. Listen to God's word. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, I pray that the words of my mouth and that the meditations of our hearts, that they would be acceptable in your sight. For you are the very rock and redeemer of our lives. And to that end, Lord, I ask that you would open our hearts and our minds, that we would hear your word afresh, but that we wouldn't simply hear it and walk away. Help us to hear your word, and to be willing to obey. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's take a look at this psalm. In fact, the first time that I saw this psalm or read this psalm was that summer with the other 20 college students. One of the other students, who was an artist, made a drawing of the first verse of this passage for me: how good and pleasant it is when God's people dwell together in unity. You see, our relationship had a little friction in it, and I honestly can't remember what that friction was about. But I do remember Bruce giving me this passage drawn in an artistic way. And it made an impact on me because I began to think through, what is my responsibility in living as a member of this community? And so, to take a look at this psalm in its context, we have to realize that this psalm is part of a larger group of psalms which are called the Songs of Ascents, Psalm 120 through 134. It is thought that these psalms were spoken or recited or sung responsively as pilgrims made their way to the city of Jerusalem for a festival or for a feast. And Jerusalem is up in the hills, and so you would ascend to Jerusalem. One other possibility is that these songs or these psalms were sung or read or recited as these pilgrims went into the temple. As they went on each step, they would recite another psalm. The group of people that would come to Jerusalem for these festivals, for these feasts, are all the Israelites. Now, Derek Kidner, in his commentary on Psalms, notes that this group of Israelites included all kinds of people. There were debtors and creditors. There were slaves and slave owners. There were the offenders and the offended. And they would be side by side. Not to mention that there would be families, nuclear and extended, some who got along, some who didn't, and some who were estranged. It would be a wonderful thing if they all got along together for the festival, wouldn't it? Think holidays with your families. Thanksgiving and Christmas. Can we get through the meal without a certain person bringing up a certain subject? No. Can we get through the meal without somebody pushing the right button to set somebody else off? No. You get the point. How good and pleasant it would be for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity, to get along. This is illustrated in verse 2 and verse 3. In verse 2, it's a simile. In verse 3, it's a metaphor. In verse 2, brothers and sisters getting along is like the precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard and the clothes of Aaron. This is not Aaron Stetson. He just got knocked in the head by his daughter. This is Aaron, the brother of Moses. Okay, the priest. And for the longest time, as I'd picture this, I'd say, who on earth wants to have oil poured down on their hair, goes down on their beard, and goes on their clothes? I mean, it's the image itself is not one of those things that really draws me to it. But here's the thing. Oil refers to gladness. It also refers, and even more so, to the blessing and the presence of God. Blessing from God is seen and experienced when relationships are in good order. That's what the psalmist is saying. And in verse 3, it's illustrated by the dew that comes down on Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon is snow-covered for a good portion of the year. When the dew comes down, that moisture brings life. It brings refreshment to the mountain. And so oil running down and dew falling down are the blessing of God being poured out. It can't be stopped. It continues to come down. You can see that in the passage. Rolling down, coming down, falling down. God's blessing. And yet we know that when people gather together, there's potential for it to go well, and there's for potential for it to go not so well. When brothers and sisters in the faith get along, that is a gift from God. And that gift from God is blessing. The blessing of living the life that God gives to us in and through Jesus Christ. So live life in a way to make God's blessing visible. Let's explore that life together a little bit. This life together is more than simply living in unity with family members at Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's about doing life together. It's about how we as followers of Jesus Christ treat one another. It's about assumptions and expectations that are both positive and negative. For a number of years, Ruthie and I and our daughters were quite involved in a ministry which is now called Gen On Ministries. It focused on a midweek gathering for youth and children. And there was only one rule. Treat one another as children of God. No one has a right to be treated as if they don't matter. I think about that in life today. Living together as followers of Jesus Christ is not easy. But what do other people who look in see? The life that we share is one of fellowship in all its aspects. Michael Green wrote an article entitled Fellowship in the Complete Book of Everyday Christianity. And he makes several observations of what fellowship entails. Now, fellowship, or a group of for fellowship, is not unknown in the Roman world. It existed before the church in Acts existed. There were fellowships. And there were fellowships for people of like mind. There were fellowships of people in like trades. There were fellowships for those in like classes. So aristocrats would have fellowship with one another. Slaves would have fellowship with one another. Gentiles would meet with Gentiles. Jews with Jews. Women with women. Men with men. But what was different about the Christians was that their fellowship crossed the boundaries of what was there. Most significantly, the Christians expressed a quality of care, a quality of life, and a quality of love that amazed and attracted others. The word that is used for this is koinonia, which means fellowship. But it is far beyond the fellowships that existed in the Roman world. You see, these people shared their life together in God. They worshiped. They participated together in a fellowship in the life of God through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. They shared with one another. It wasn't about individuals. It wasn't me, myself, and I. It was us and we and our. They shared each other's situations. They shared joys and sorrows together. They shared financial blessings together. And they shared poverty together. They shared God's work. They were in partnership in ministry, serving others. They shared life together. I think the best commentary on what they did can be seen in either Acts 2 or Acts chapter 4, where it says they enjoyed the favor of all the people. What would it be like if God's WPC enjoyed the favor of all the people? Wouldn't that be amazing? If we enjoyed the favor of people in Windham and in Salem and Londonderry and Hudson and Nashua, this would be a great gift. This gift of fellowship with Christ is not something that these early followers of Jesus could accomplish on their own. And neither can we. It is a gift from God. It's a gift for us to experience. It's a gift which makes God's presence and God's power known. And we need to live in a way to make God's blessing visible. So what would that look like for us? What would it be like for us to explore living life together? I mean, living life together is not easy. Sometimes, especially in the church. Right? Because we're all sinners. There is no perfect church. And if you find one, don't join it because they won't have you. There is no perfect church. Walking into a church doesn't make someone a Christian, just like walking into a garage doesn't make you a car. It doesn't happen. But in the Christian life, we ask God through the Holy Spirit to do His work in us and through us. And as I look around at the world today, life seems so much more fragile than it did a few decades ago. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't seek to enjoy the fellowship and the unity that God provides. It just means that maybe we need to be more attentive. Maybe we need to allow God's Spirit to work in ways that we've not allowed God's Spirit to work in the past. So I was thinking about this. I remembered a passage from the book of James. And I think James hits the nail on the head when we look at our society. He says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. A brief look at social media, cable productions, video games, the way people engage around youth sports, politics, they illustrate the opposite of what James states. In fact, we are quick to become angry, quick to express our own opinions as the only truth, and slow, if not unable or unwilling, to listen at all. You know, I've seen this and I've experienced this both inside the church and outside the church. But I'll always remember hearing a story about some high school students in western Pennsylvania. They bore witness to the unity that they have in Jesus Christ, even while they were in school. There was a teacher who called a special play practice one day. And the students came up to him that afternoon and said, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be able to come because I've got this commitment that I've made. And one by one, the students kept coming up to this teacher. He was dumbfounded. And all of a sudden, it was like the lights went on. And he said, oh, you're a part of that youth group at that church across town where the kids really do love each other. I long for God's WPC to be like that church who had the youth that loved one another. It was seen. I long for God's WPC to learn to love one another rather than merely tolerating people who have a different opinion or who might see something in another way. I long for God's WPC to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I long for God's WPC to treat one another as children of God and not to treat anyone as if they don't matter. I long for God's WPC to be people who are ready and quick to be about the work of reconciliation. I long for this to happen when it's easy and when it's difficult. And I long to see this lived out on athletic fields and in school cafeterias and around boardroom tables and committees and neighborhoods and in families. Live in a way to make God's blessing visible. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. That unity is accompanied by God's blessing. God's blessing isn't something we can accomplish or something we can earn, but it's experienced as a gift of grace, and it's seen in our interactions with one another. It means spending time with each other. It means spending time listening to someone else. It means spending time reflecting on the way that you have interacted with people through the day and learning from it. Why do we do that? We don't do it for our glory, but we do it for the greater glory of God. May we be people who make God's blessing visible. May it be so. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we read the words, how good and pleasant it is for God's people to live in unity. And Lord, we want that, but we need to see the other side of that where we've got some work that we need to do. And so, Lord, we pray that your Spirit would be at work in our lives, that you would lead us and guide us to seek reconciliation where it's needed, to live with joy in the unity that you give us, that the world may know that we are your disciples, that we are your followers because of the love that is displayed in our interactions, not only in this building, but in all that we do. Lord, we ask for this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. I invite you to stand if you're able.